I'm going to ask you if you would take your Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. God willing, we're going to finish this series next Sunday. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 is page 342 in your pew Bible. We're going to read verses 10 through 14, so let's stand together this morning as we read God's Word in unity. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we're going to begin reading in verse 10. On the 23rd day of the seventh month, he sent the people away to their homes, joyful and in good spirits because of the goodness that the Lord had shown to David and to Solomon and to his people Israel. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, all that Solomon had planned to do in the house of the Lord and in his own house he successfully accomplished. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Thank you so much. God bless you. It was a Friday, early Friday afternoon in October of 2008. I was at the time living in Bel Air, Maryland, about 20 miles north of Baltimore. I was on staff at a church there. Friday was my day off. I was driving to the office that day to drop off some papers for Sunday, and I'm going down a road, and it's interesting, if you know anything about people who live in Maryland or Baltimore, I was on Bel Air Road, B-E-L-A-I-R. I lived in Bel Air, Maryland, but it's called Blair Road. Just like if you're a real Baltimorean, you don't call it Baltimore, it's Balmer. And so I was driving on Blair Road going into Baltimore, and I was sitting at a traffic light and looked to my left, and there was a nursery, a nursery, farm supply, garden supply place there on my left, there at the corner, and they had an old wooden wheelbarrow sitting out, and it was filled with yellow mums. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to buy Sherry some flowers. We'd been dating about 8 weeks, and I knew she was head over heels in love with me, and why not? I owned a really nice car at the time. And so I turned into this place called Huber's and bought her a basket of yellow mums. I drove into town, or closer to town, and she was teaching second grade at a school, and so I stopped by the school office thinking that I would just drop them off for her, and the lady in the office went on the intercom and asked, and Sherry said, no, my students are out at PE, and so I thought, well, I'll just go deliver them then. So I went down to where Sherry's classroom was, and walked in holding my yellow basket of mums, and it had a little scarecrow, a little tiny scarecrow stuck in it. And she looked at him and she said, you need to sit down. And I thought, oh man, she hates yellow mums, you know. And she said, I need to tell you something. She said, for the last 2 weeks, I've been praying and asking God about our relationship. Sherry was a widow. I'd been single for about 3 years. And so she said, I've been praying and asking God to show me a sign if you're the right person for me. And she said, I've been praying and I asked God that if you were the right person, that you would personally deliver yellow fresh flowers to me. And so I said, well, I guess we need to go to a jewelry store then. I tell you that story, and it is true. I tell you that story because it's not about the flowers, but it is so that you will know this. God hears prayers. God hears the most personal, intimate, minute prayers. God does not just hear big prayers, "Oh God, give us a cure for cancer." God does not just hear big prayers, "Oh God, give us a cure for this pandemic." God hears the prayers that emanate from your lips, even prayers that you feel like, "Lord, I almost hate to even ask you for this, even mention this to you. This seems so trivial. This seems so small." God is interested and hears all of our prayers. The Scripture is clear on this. The psalmist said in Psalm 10, verse 17, "You, Lord, hear the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them, and you listen to their cry." The psalmist again, Psalm 34, verse 15, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and He is attentive to their cry." Isaiah 59, 1, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor His ear too dull to hear." John said this in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him." This is fundamental Christianity. This is fundamental relationship. This is not some kind of deep teaching. You and I must know that God hears my prayers. Now, hearing my prayers and giving me what I want, when I want it, and the way I want it are not always the same thing. But I have to have an assurance in my heart when I go to prayer, "God, You hear my prayers. You hear those things that Lord, I don't share with anyone else. I share strictly with You. God, You hear those prayers that even as I'm praying them, I think, well, God's got so many things to deal with and so many people to pray them. He's not interested in the fact that, God, my car is not running well and I really need a new car. God, help me." We think God's not really interested in that kind of prayer. God is interested in that prayer, isn't He, Jody? Yeah, Jody's prayed that kind of prayer and got a new car. Now, I'm not saying God, you know, sent her a check and said, "Here's the keys." But God hears your prayers. God hears our prayers. And that's something that we have to know. And that is why I believe that God said to Solomon in this passage of Scripture, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven." God wants us to know that He hears our prayers. And intercessory prayer, this series that we've been on for several weeks now, intercessory prayer leads us down a prayer pathway, down a prayer road that brings us into intimacy with God. As I rest in the knowledge that God hears my prayers, it then frees me in my prayer life to pray the mind and the will of God. I want to say that again, because I need to hear it. As I rest in the knowledge that God hears my prayers, it frees me to then begin to pray the mind and the will of God. Because you see, when I accept the fact that God hears my prayers, it uncomplicates prayer. It makes prayer not so much a complicated matter of checking off every little item as it is just talking to God and sharing with God what's going on in my day, what's going on in my life, where I need His help. Abraham understood this. We read in Genesis chapter 18 where God and two angels appear to Abraham, and God is sending those angels on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah. And judgment is preparing to come upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And I love what God says, because this is what I'm talking about, this intimacy of resting in the fact that God hears my prayer and God trusts me in my prayers. Because notice what it says, Genesis 18, verse 17. This passage has just jumped out at me this week. Then the Lord said, now this is God speaking. God said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. Don't you love that? That God is saying, not to Abraham, God is carrying on a conversation with himself. God is talking to himself about this man. And God is saying to himself, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Because I've blessed Abraham, and Abraham is going to become a great nation. It just baffles me. It overwhelms me that God would say about you and I, should I hold back from Jan? Should I not tell her what I'm about to do? Should I hold back from Kathy what I'm about to do? Because there was that intimacy, that prayer intimacy. And so as they begin this conversation and God tells Abraham what he's about to do, Abraham does not say, well, God, you know, just do whatever you want to do. You're God, I'm just a human, I'm just overwhelmed, you would even tell me anything, so do what you want to do. No, what did Abraham do? Verse 23 begins by saying this, then Abraham approached him and said, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? Would you approach God praying that way? I mean, basically, Abraham gets in God's face and says, so you're going to destroy all the city. Well, what if there are 50 righteous people there? Would you destroy 50 righteous people? And then he turns around and he says, that's not like you, God. That's not like you. You're a righteous God. You do what is right. You wouldn't do anything like that. And of course, we know the story. God says, all right, Abraham, if there are 50 righteous people there, I will not destroy them. And Abraham carries on this conversation with God until he finally says, God, if there are 10 righteous people there, would you spare the city for the sake of the 10? And God says to him, Abraham, if I find 10 righteous people there, I'll spare the whole city. Now, what brought Abraham to that place that he could say to God, God, this is not like you. This isn't the God that I know. What brought him to that place? It was the knowledge that Abraham had that God answers prayer. Now, understand this. The main prayer that Abraham had for God was far beyond Sodom and Gomorrah. The main issue that Abraham was praying to God about was about a son. Give me a child. Give me an heir. You keep telling me you're going to make a great nation of me. Give me an heir. And yet, Abraham, even though what he was praying about was not answered, he had prayed enough to know that even though I don't see the answer right now that I'm asking for, I still know God hears. And if God hears, even though I don't have what I'm asking for right now, I'll turn over here and take that knowledge that God hears me when I pray, and I'll apply it to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, you can't allow what you're praying about and the answer or unanswer that you have right now, the state of being of the answer of this prayer, to affect the knowledge that even though I may not see what I'm praying for right now, I still know God answers prayer. And I'm going to keep praying because God hears my prayers. I don't have the answer yet, but I know that God hears my prayers. I don't have an Isaac yet, but I know God hears my prayers. Abraham did not allow the fact that there was not an answer here yet to say, well, why should I talk to God? God doesn't even hear me when I pray. I haven't got what I've asked for yet. No, Abraham just moved right beyond that and moved into another area and said, God, I know you. You're a righteous God. You're not going to destroy a whole city because if you can find 50 people there. We say it every Sunday as part of the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But notice where Jesus put that in the prayer. He begins the prayer by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He establishes the fact that God, you're in heaven, you hear prayer, we're in relationship with you, we know you as Father, so now I'm going to say, let your kingdom come, let your will be done throughout the earth. And then he begins to move into what he's praying about. Give us this day our daily bread. And it goes on and on through the prayer. Jesus understood that God answers prayer. That God hears our prayers. The early church, when they were facing persecution, in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 29, as the church is praying, they said, Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God boldly. They refused to allow what they were going through to make them believe that God did not hear prayer. They had just been persecuted. They had been told by the religious leaders, do not preach or teach anymore in the name of this Jesus. If you do, we're going to persecute you even more. You're going to pay a higher price. Well, what did they do? They didn't even pray about that. They said, Lord, we know you hear prayer. You've seen what's happened. So give us boldness. Too often times I feel that in my own, even in my own life, that I allow what I'm going through, what I'm facing, the time lapse between what I'm praying about and seeing an answer, it sometimes causes us to doubt, does God really hear me when I pray? Is God listening to me? I mean, so many people are praying, is God hearing my prayer? Because I don't see anything changing. I don't see that situation changing any. In fact, in all honesty, God, it looks like it's getting worse. Do you hear me? Yet, we know that He hears. And these things that are going on, the fact that we're not seeing an answer, the fact things may be getting worse, the fact that nothing is changing, cannot detract us, cannot distract us, cannot turn us away from the knowledge deep in our heart that I may not see an answer right now. Things may not be getting better. There may not be a breakthrough. I still may be struggling financially right now. I still may be looking for a job right now. I still may be having doors shut in my face right now. But I still believe and will believe that God hears my prayers. You see, when I know that God hears my prayers, it takes the pressure of praying off. It takes the pressure of, God, when are you going to answer? God, how are you going to answer? God, Where are you going to answer this prayer? God, what are you going to do to answer my prayer? It takes that pressure off. And now I can just keep going to His throne and keep going to that place of prayer, because I'm going there not to tell God what to do, not to tell God how to do it, not to hold up my watch in God's face and say tick, 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 but to go to God in prayer knowing that, God, You hear my prayer. And here's the other thing about it. Sometimes in my own life, when I'm praying, and I'm just telling you my personal experience, sometimes when I'm praying, because even though I don't have a written prayer list, I don't really need it. It's all, you know, it's here in your head because you pray. But there are times in my time of prayer that I just stop praying. And I'll say something like this: the Holy Spirit, Jesus said in John chapter 16 that You would guide me into all truth and You would reveal to me those things the Father is saying. So I'm just going to close my mouth and I'm just going to listen. And if someone's name drops into my heart or a situation, I'm going to believe, Holy Spirit, that's from You, and I'm going to pray for them, or I'm going to pray for him or for her or for that situation. And I'll just sit in silence and just wait. And there are times that I don't hear a thing. And I say, oh, Lord, okay. I've waited. You're not putting anybody or any situation on my heart. And that's okay. But then there are times that as I'm doing that, one of Your names will just drop into my heart. And I'll say, Lord, I don't know what's going on with so-and-so, but You do. I just want to lift them up to You. I want to bring them before Your throne. I ask You, Lord, to meet every need in their life. I'm asking You, Lord, if they need healing, touch them now. If they need encouragement, encourage them. Lord, whatever they need, supply them whatever they need right now. Because you see, when you know God hears prayers, it even takes the pressure off of you coming up with the prayer. I don't have to go to God with, and I'm not, please don't think I'm being critical, but I don't have to go to God with my list. Okay, God, I've got to go through the list again because You haven't answered any of these prayers, so here we go, Lord. But I can, and that's fine if you use a list to pray. But there's also a time when you can just say, God, I know You hear me when I pray. So who do You want me to pray for? What do You want me to pray about? How do You want me to pray today? Show me, Lord. I want to pray that way. I want to pray for that person. I want to pray about that situation. I want to get my mind and my eyes off my problems and my family and my needs and my finances and my job and my children and my grandchildren. And I want to put them on somebody else today, Lord. So who do You want me to pray for? It takes the pressure off. It makes it... You know, sometimes Sherry and I can say something to her, and I think she's in the bedroom, and instead she's in the laundry room. And I'll hear her way down at the other end of the house, and she'll say, I can't hear what you're saying. She just hears me in there talking. And so what do I do? Well, I don't forget what I was going to tell her, and I either wait till she comes to me or I find her and say, well, here's what I was saying. But when you are praying, God never says, I can't hear what you're saying. Be louder. You know, that was the thought of the prophets of Baal when Elijah met them on Mount Carmel, and they kept praying to their gods and their gods weren't answering, and they got louder and louder, and then they took stones and they began to cut themselves thinking that that would cause their God to answer. That's not our God. He hears us when we pray. All of the questions about prayer are removed when I accept, just rest in the knowledge that God hears me when I pray. So then it becomes like a child talking to a parent. If God hears the prayer of a lady in Baltimore who is asking God to show her a sign by having someone personally deliver fresh yellow flowers, if God hears that prayer, God hears every prayer. God does not hear the noble prayers. God does not hear the prayers prayed in King James English. God does not hear only the prayers that when you pray you sound like Billy Graham. No, God hears every prayer. He hears your prayers. He hears my prayers. He even hears those times when the situation, the need, the hurt is so deep and so intense and so personal that you can't even put it into words. And you just sit and the tears roll down. God hears that. God hears that. The writer of Hebrews says this, and this is from the New Century Version. Since we have a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, who has gone into heaven, let us hold to the faith we have. For our high priest is able to understand our weaknesses. He was tempted in every way that we are, but he did not sin. Let us then feel very sure that we can come before God's throne where there is grace. There we can receive mercy and grace to help us when we need it. Father, I want to thank you that you are a God that hears prayer. You hear, Lord, the prayers that are long. You hear the ones that are short. You hear the ones that are spoken in such beautiful English or such a beautiful language. Lord, you hear those times when we just simply say like Peter did, Lord, save me. Lord, you hear the prayers that are raised in the most beautiful cathedrals. You hear the prayer of a thief hanging on a cross who says, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. You hear every prayer. Lord, I pray that as we pray this week, that we would accept and rest in the truth that you hear us. That prayer is not complicated. It is just your children talking to you and resting in the knowledge that you hear. So may we come, as the writer of Hebrews said, may we come boldly to the throne of grace. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus, amen.